from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. And thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Ursula, the 9 o'clock hour is done. How'd you feel about it?
I knew you were going to ask, and I was just thinking about that.
Okay.
Meat and potatoes.
Oh.
A lot of meat.
A lot of meat?
There was a lot of meat in that hour.
Yeah, get careful on that meat. Get that itis thin.
I think this next hour is also going to have a lot of meat.
Okay.
So if you were looking for a more serious show,
okay,
and maybe you were one of those that on Monday who said, y'all laugh too much, we're not going to have that problem today.
Okay.
Well, we're going to try to find some times to have good laughs.
All right. Well, let's get to it. What's new at 10, Ursula?
Well, right now, the Richland Police Department is holding a press conference, and they are trying to share more information about that former Yakima officer who led police on a nationwide manhunt. He's accused of killing two women and kidnapping his one-year-old. 39-year-old Elias Huzar died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound after a high-speed chase with Oregon State Police yesterday. And as we talked about in the first hour, G, details about his background are raising a lot of questions. A lot of you texted in with questions as well. So his 17-year-old live-in girlfriend was one of the victims. She's the mother of the one-year-old who is now in protective custody.
Mm-hmm.
The Tri-City Herald reports that Huzar was a school resource officer at a Yakima middle school a few years ago when he started an inappropriate sexual relationship with that young woman, 17-year-old, who was at the time 15 years old. He was pulled out of that school and eventually fired after a long investigation, but he was never charged with child rape. And the reason was that investigators with the Union Gap Police Department were not able to establish probable cause.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be huge questions. One of the questions I had.
And what's that?
Was the Union Gap Police Department equipped to handle an eviction? We're talking about tiny towns. Union Gap has 17 commissioned police officers, 6 reserve officers, 3 civilian support staff. And the question is, if that investigation had led to charges, I mean, I think most would conclude that what transpired and these tragedies that occurred, you know, ending with the two women dying, they may have been avoided.
Might have been. I think that a lot of these systems that are in place, unions that are there, unions, whether it's a teacher's union or a police union, there are these things are so some of the challenges to these systems that are in place. They are so baked in. And what I mean by baked in, they're baked in to where a ex-officer like this, a resource officer, and all of those things that you talked about, and you laid out all the things that you did, meeting the 15-year-old. Later on, a year later, she becomes pregnant. She has a baby. Up until this year, was living with the now 17-year-old. All of these things. And yet, we talk about background checks, and we talk about all the people in our country who haven't been able to get a job because maybe when they went to take a pee test, they showed up with marijuana in their system and they couldn't get a job, right? But you have situations like this where most of us, regular people, are trying to figure out how does this happen? And now that it has happened, what's going to be the follow-up to this? Is someone, because I'll tell you this, someone needs to go to prison behind this.
Well, let's fill in a few more of the gaps, because he worked for the Yakima Police Department between 2014 and 2022. And then a week before his termination, the Richland School District hired him as an emergency substitute teacher. So he was also a volunteer wrestling coach at the high school as recently as 2023. And again, So we're talking about a police department where the information about why he was fired is not released. He actually gets glowing reviews from the middle school where he worked as a school resource officer, where the principal and the vice principal were saying he was an excellent candidate to work in another school district. Meanwhile, there is a young woman, but she's a girl who became a mother because he had an inappropriate relationship with her.
Right.
And now she's dead.
Can I go to the principal and vice principal giving glowing reviews about him? Do they, and this is a question that I don't know the answer to, but did they give those great reviews about this officer because they didn't know? Like, they didn't know anything about what this officer had done. Because
that's,
I would assume...
That's a question that needs to be answered.
Right. And so, if they didn't know, which I've lived in small towns before, with the military school in a small town, with the college in a small town, and maybe you listening, you've lived in a small town before too. And you want to know what I know about small towns? Everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows a lot of things. You can probably get away with some things in a bigger city where a lot of people aren't connected. But in smaller towns, people know. I find it really hard to believe that this officer was still able, up until 2023, be a wrestling coach. And even after that, be hired by the Richland School District.
And a big question is, so what happened in that police investigation? Because, again, a lot of this could have been avoided had he been charged and convicted in having that sexual relation, an inappropriate sexual relationship with a then 15-year-old. So how is it that that law enforcement agency did not manage to establish what was the difficulty in establishing probable cause? So that would be one. And then the other thing is the school district and his own law enforcement agency let him go over inappropriate contact with a minor. So, like, where's the disconnect?
I'm going to tell you the disconnect, and it's simple. We know that state agencies are usually reluctant to give any details to us about the findings of law enforcement. We know that. We've dealt that. We've talked about this in the media. And this is further another reason why still today we have no national system for reporting police conduct. If we did have a national system for reporting police misconduct, it would be just as easy as this person, X officer, did this, is in the system, done. That's it. It's in the system. So the vice principal, the principal, and any hiring agency cannot fail to miss this. Because if they're getting ready to hire law enforcement, they actually have a database that they can go to and say, this officer, we can't hire this officer. But because we do things different for law enforcement, this is what we get.
So as far as the investigation goes, one of the reasons why they may not have been able to establish probable cause is if the victim was unwilling to cooperate, right?
That very well could be the case.
That's certainly a possibility because they maintained a relationship. However, in the majority of these cases, even if a victim is unwilling to cooperate, usually there is a warrant for all the digital devices, like the suspect's house is searched, etc. And that's how they gather the evidence to convict someone. So was that conducted? Did that happen? Or did this guy get special treatment? Because what we're talking about is a neighboring police agency investigating an officer from a nearby agency, right? They coordinate. They work together all the time. In Washington State, there is a state-level task force that will investigate.
New.
Yes, it's new. A deadly force, but not misconduct. Right. So I don't know if we need a state level agency Because, I mean, we looked at the Pierce County Police Department was investigating the Tacoma officers, right?
Well, I think one of the reasons why this new agency was created was because of situations
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
Before you move on, and I really hope that something comes about this. I hope this doesn't just happen.
This is such a huge tragedy.
I hope this doesn't just happen. Like, when we start talking about what we want on a national level, this right here, and my question would be this. Would law enforcement be against something like this? Would law enforcement be against a national system that would be able to report police misconduct? We all are for it for criminals. When they make a mistake, there's a system we can see them. What are we doing here? So if we don't want to establish this and change this, then we just expect more stories like this.
I'm going to guess that the police unions would be against something like this based on this idea that it could be abused. I'm going to guess, but I think it's something that certainly cases like this should be reason to look over everything and say, where did we go wrong? Where did we fail these two women who are now dead and this child who is now an orphan?
You do a better job at looking at both sides of things to me. When you say abused, when they say
reason,
right,
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I just think it should be a simple switch. This should be switched tomorrow, like this. And then the next time we have a local agency be so reluctant to give we the people the findings of their investigation. So the reason why I'm laying this out, because I've been doing this show with you for 4 years. I've been doing this show with you for 4 years, and this is what we constantly get. There's a local agency. They did an investigation. Sometimes they say our investigations found no wrongdoing, Boeing. And then sometimes we find situations where, we do know the findings, but we're going to keep that private. So the next time we report on a story, I'm going to bring this topic up right here.
Or we're just going to let you go rather than have something on your record. But the reason why this doesn't happen is because you're going to need an act of Congress. There are 17,000 police agencies in the United States. They do not have federal oversight. The Department of Justice can step in if there is found to be a systemic issue within a police department, like with Seattle. And there is a database that was created in 2023 for federal officers. The Biden administration did that. But if you want to have a national database for misconduct for all law enforcement officers, how willing do you think the Democrats would be to take that issue up right before an election?
Not. But I think it is an interesting idea for sure. Okay, we're going to move on because we need to get this story in here. It's disheartening to hear that there is this nonprofit director in Oregon who's now charged with money laundering, theft, and identity theft after allegedly stealing nearly $200,000. This happened at the Recovery Cafe in Oregon. It's a social services provider for people who are dealing with addiction, homelessness, domestic violence, and mental health challenges. And Rena Thompson allegedly spent $31,000 on things that she bought on Amazon. She went on trips to Vegas. She made $23,000 in cash withdrawals, along with $6,000 in Cash App transfers. She even bought a pool, paid for therapy. The list goes on and on. And Tony Kaguchi is now the director for the Recovery Cafe. And he tells King 5 News everyone was blindsided by how much money was actually missing.
It really crushed us because as a small agency, you know the people that you work with on a personal level.
And he says now directors cannot open accounts without board approval. And he admits that, nonprofits can be especially vulnerable to these kinds of financial crimes.
We're very nice, right? We're very accepting of people. We meet people where they at, and that can be a fault at some times because we want to believe in the good in people.
Okay, so of course my first question was like, how did she get away with allegedly taking this much money? She was in charge of accounting records for the Recovery Cafe, and she was able to open 8 different fake accounts to route that money through.
Are we still today surprised when the person that either has access to the money or is in charge of the money or is the signer or can be one signer on the check. I mean, I'm serious. I'm asking you. Do we really get surprised that when money gets stolen? Do we?
I'm surprised that systems only go into place after the money is stolen. Right. I'm surprised that these systems aren't already in place mm-hmm. and that they haven't already thought, hey, let's just make sure that we have a good accounting system so that you aren't suddenly missing $200,000, which could basically make or break a nonprofit like this one.
Can I share a story with you?
Of course.
A lot of my father's friends back in the 60s, especially when they got older into the 70s, my father grew up on the west side of Chicago. And on the west side of Chicago, a lot of his friends, a lot of them either were hustlers and, you know, and some of them were pimps. And right. I know this is probably daytime radio, but I'm just telling you a story. OK, some of them hustlers and pimps and all those things went into that type of living. My father went to the military and some people did other things. Well, going into the 80s, a lot of those folks that were doing all of that hustling, they found some of his friends found a new calling, right? And they thought, man, this is the way you want to go. Some of them became pastors of the church, right? Some of them got into the church because in the church, right, they're nonprofit. You don't have to pay taxes in that domain, right? And so they went into that profession. It was a lot of it. So where am I going with this story, Ursula? Here's where I'm going. There's a new thing today that happens often and a lot, and it goes like this. If you were to give me $10, I say, Ursula, I need to help this person buy a pair of pants. And Ursula, you give me 10 bucks. And the pair of pants for that person cost $1. I pay for the pants. I take a picture. I show all of you that I have just paid for that pair of pants. But I keep the $9. Am I a bad person? I'm asking you a real question. Am I a bad person? No. I bought the pants. That person didn't have pants before me. That person now has a pair of pants. I keep $9.
No, but that is one of the things that I am so skeptical about. And I hate to say this, but when it comes to nonprofits, fundraisers, I'm just going to say the number of events that there are for all these different nonprofits. And I know that this is an area that you're very familiar with, and I'm not trying to cast shade on that at all. But I'm just shocked at the number of different organizations that exist. And it's stories like this that hurt them. And it's also stories like this that make me skeptical. And when you share what you just did about that, I think we all should be questioning and looking into and researching these different nonprofit organizations that we give our money to. It sounds like this is a great organization that just got scammed by one of their own, which mm-hmm. really sucks.
Which most of the time it happens. It usually is one of their own. Like, nobody comes in from the outside and steals their money because they don't have access to the bank account, yeah. right?
But how about put the systems in place before you get scammed?
Because usually when you're building your organization, you're not big. You don't. It doesn't start that way. It probably starts at a kitchen table. It doesn't start at a boardroom. And then when you start at the kitchen table and it gets big fast, and all of a sudden you're still at the kitchen table during big boardroom stuff for your organization. Boy, I can go so deep into this topic. It is something else. But good stuff, Ursula. Hey, coming up next here on the G and Ursula Show, someone just got their Heisman Trophy back. As a matter of fact, of all of the Heisman Trophy winners, this person was the only one to ever get it taken away. So he got it back. What happened? We talk about that next. G and Ursula.
This hour of the G and Ursula Show is brought to you by Pello Windows and Doors.
The This is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Wednesday to all of you. Text us on our Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. We could not do the show without you. And it has only been 14 years, but former USC football star Reggie Bush has his Heisman Trophy back. The gifted running back was forced to forfeit that trophy back in 2010 after improper benefits came to light during his time in college. Now the Heisman Trust announced in its reinstatement that enormous changes in the college football landscape have transpired, and so it's only right to give him his trophy back. And I know you said this is huge news in the sports world.
This is definitely huge news in the sports world. Ursula, do you know that Reggie Bush is, out of all of the Heisman Trophy winners, he's the only one where the Heisman Trust took his away? The only one. Oh, you need context.
You want to give me context? Yes.
OJ never lost his.
Ooh.
Okay. That's one. Two, the next part I want to get to, I want to give a shout out to Johnny Manziel. And Johnny Manziel.
I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah. Johnny Manziel, who, you know, you guys, whatever you think about Johnny Manziel, but he did this last year. He said, quote, "After careful thought and consideration, I will be humbly removing myself from the Heisman Trophy ceremony until Reggie Bush gets his trophy back. Doesn't sit right with my morals and values that he can't be on that stage with us every year. Reggie is the Heisman Trophy. Do the right thing, NCAA. The ball is in your court." So I want to give shout outs to him because he was the only past Heisman Trophy winner to come out and make a direct stance and take a direct shot by saying, "I will no longer be a part of it." So I want to give him his flowers for that. Reggie Bush lost his Heisman Trophy because of everything, the probation that USC came under. And during that time when Reggie Bush was a player then, Pete Carroll was head coach during that time. And not only did Reggie Bush get benefits, other players got benefits too, but they were able to use Reggie Bush as the example. USC was put on probation for a certain period of time, and then it was business as usual. Another way to add context for you, Reggie loses his Heisman. Ask me if anybody connected with that program, do they lose, they have to give back any money? Nobody lost salaries, right? All of those things stay in place.
Can we just go back to the one they say, he got improper benefits? What was so he basically got money? He was paid?
Yes.
He was a paid player?
His parents, they found out his parents, they got cars and all those kind of things.
But was it a violation at the time?
Yes.
But it sounds like because the landscape has changed now and they're saying it's not a violation and we are okay with this, it was still a violation then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's my thought. Yes, you're right, Ursula. It was a violation then, right? But the thing is that for a while, we college football fans and fans of the game say, well, that university cheats or that university cheats. Our university doesn't cheat. And what I'm trying to tell you is that the only difference is there's going to be some level of cheating. It's just some were able to cheat more than others. Some were able to not get caught. Usually it was the conference that would protect that team. So, for example, the Pac-12, or if you will, the Pac-10 mm-hmm. back then, I think they did an awful job in allowing their teams to get sanctioned. The SEC didn't allow that. They protected their teams.
Well, and that's one of the big things. I sent you a note because I remember how depressed my husband was the day that it was what many are calling the darkest day for Washington football. That was August 23rd, 1993, when the Pac-10 announced a 2-year bowl ban and scholarship reductions after a scandal that involved several UW players getting money for little or no work done in L.A. And that was the day that Coach Don James resigned. I remember that was like one of the biggest news days in a long time. Now, given what the Heisman Trust said in this case with Reggie Bush, Should that also apply to University of Washington? I mean, which is not the Heisman.
No, it's not the Heisman, and that was the conference. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, and I told you this morning I can easily answer that, right? The reason why we don't have a Pac-12 anymore is because the Pac-12 destroyed itself. There's no way in the world that they should have the Pac-12 as a conference, or the Pac-10 or whatever it was, they should have never allowed UW to be in that situation. Mm. They shouldn't have allowed USC. Let me make this clear. If money is important, which we all know that it is, then you protect your teams within that conference. Why do I know this? Because the SEC does it and did it all the time. The Big Ten did it and does it all the time. I want to remind you of something. The University of Michigan recently, the Connor Stallions, when they had the coach on the sidelines that got busted cheating, literally cheating, stealing signs and all of those things. What did they do? Can I just go away? This is bringing in a lot of money for our conference who won the national championship.
Are we saying because other conferences hide it and protect their own that we shouldn't have done the right thing as much as it cost us as a program? I'm talking about in the case of the Huskies.
How did it work out for the Pac-12? Where are we at today with the Pac-12?
Not well. It's dismantled.
The Huskies never recovered. So, I mean, if Bush is giving back his Heisman Trophy, should UW get back some scholarships that they lost?
They lost scholarships.
No, because the Huskies, first of all, they were on probation for a certain amount of time, right? And then they served their time, and then they
got back. But for the same kind of thing, right? I mean, it was for the same.
Yes.
$50,000 for Billy Joe.
Yes, it was the same thing.
Billy Joe that was a name I haven't heard.
But you had an opportunity to get back. Like, UW has gotten back since then. They've gotten back since 1993. What, they didn't go to win a Rose Bowl with Rick Neuheisel as a coach? They didn't go to the college playoffs with Chris Peterson as a coach? They just recently went to the college playoffs to the national championship game. So I'm saying you have to think bigger than that. Bigger is the Pac-12 is no more today when you had guys like Reggie Bush. There was a point in time where the Pac-12 conference was the most watched conference in the country. It had incredible football. And here's what I'm upset about.
I'm just wondering if you guys agree. I want to hear, I'm sure Husky fans, if you're out there, and I know you're out there, text us 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. Should there be some kind of, redo, some kind of, maybe get something back because of the years that were lost on probation? I mean, they ended up with the resignation of a legendary coach.
Well, I mean, what could UW get back today?
I don't know. I'm sure Husky fans know. I'll leave it up to the Husky fans.
Okay, fair enough. Let's do sitting there. Oh. Hold on, everybody. Now, I know we do scenarios every single day, but this scenario right here. Okay, hold on. This scenario is in-house.
I'm dreading.
Oh, yeah. It's in-house. We're gonna take you how it came to be, where we're at, and I'm going to be with you. I need to find out because something was discovered yesterday through text messages, and now it has become a scenario for all of you. Oh, I can't wait for you to hear it next. Gene Ursula.
Scenarios is brought to you by 1-800-DUI-AWARE.
Here we go, yo.
It is the Gian Ursula Show, and this is Scenarios, but this is probably one of, I'd say this is a different scenario. So you guys know I like to take you guys behind the scenes, so I don't want to leave anything out. I want to give it in real time, okay? So here's what happened.
She is scrolling on his phone because it started off with a text message.
Okay, here it started off with a text message. And Ursula goes to tell us, like, hey, we've arrived. It was one of our reels on social media has a bunch of plays. So lately, as you guys know, we've been putting social, not me, but Chef and those guys have been putting reels out there on social media. It's been pretty cool. And so Ursula says, we arrived. Well, when she sent a screenshot, I saw, and I don't know, I'm a weirdo. I pay attention to details. Her phone is not charged. And so I see it's getting dead. So I took a screenshot of that and I sent it back to you. And then she says, LOL. And then her next words are, Spike Hughes, as in Spike O'Neal, who's he's sitting here right now, by the way. We're not talking about his back. Spike used my charging cord at work. And then he lost it. And I said, OMG. And then Ursula says, haven't been home yet. I said,
I'm trying to justify why it is that
I'm seeing the train's headlight coming down the track.
Ursula,
get out of the way. Get out of the way.
Ursula's twirling her mustache dastardly as I'm tied to the tracks.
So Ursula says, I haven't been home yet. And to which I say, wait, he bought you another one, right? She says, no. And then she says, oh, I need to go to the Apple store because my phone no longer works with these cheap ones. I said, So let me get this straight. He lost your charger. How long ago was this?
Gotta be 3 weeks ago, probably now.
3 weeks ago. So Spike, you're here now. So you borrowed the charger.
I did.
You lost the charger.
I did.
And you just said, hey, Ursula, I borrowed it. I lost it. Done. And you were done with it.
Yeah. I'm like, go pound sand, I think were my exact words. Good luck out there in the world of cheap chargers that you'll be having to fall to without a good pocket charger that I stole from you. Now, here, let me tell you what happened. I did. I found myself in the middle of our show trying to read text and communicate with show members because we do a lot of texting on air to each other. That's kind of a nice way to communicate.
He's kind of softened
right
now.
I borrowed Ursula's charger, and I forgot to put it back in your computer. You were gone that day, I think.
I was.
I came back the next day, and it was gone from my computer. And I told you, I didn't just steal it and die off, leave it a mystery.
And what did I say?
Ursula, you're softening the blow. Let him finish.
What did I tell you?
You said, what did you say?
What did you say?
I said, I give him credit.
He told you.
For telling me.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And then I completely forgot that this had happened. I swear, I don't mean to play the old man card, but if you added all your ages up together, I might be a couple years older than you.
Okay, I got questions.
Okay.
I got questions.
Go ahead. What's your question?
When you borrowed the charger, and then you came to find out the charger's gone.
Right.
How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad did you feel going to Ursula saying, hey, I borrowed your charger, but I can't find it because somebody took it from me? How bad did you feel?
I felt terrible. And I also said at that moment, I'll get you a new one. I'll replace it. Remember I said that to you? Did I say that to you, or is that my memory is that bad that I thought I said that to you? I said, I'll find it.
Yes, I think you were going to. And you even looked in the studio.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you, though, right now, I didn't make a big deal of it.
You didn't drive the bus.
I did.
As you should.
Guys, I'm sorry. I can't let this go on any further.
Okay.
Because there was a day when I needed a phone charger.
Shut up.
And I saw a phone charger in Spike's computer. And so right here in my pocket, Ursula, I believe I have your phone charger.
That's it. That's the one. That is it.
This is the one. So you guys wanted to roast Spike. But, if you're ever looking for something, ask your producer. It's like asking your wife, where are my socks?
Therein lies the lesson.
I am the culprit. You should have suspected me.
No, hold on a minute.
I want to hear from you. G is about almost out the door.
I know.
No, you know who I'm most upset with?
Huh.
You.
Because that's fair.
Yesterday,
that's totally fair.
As G is going on, and I'm telling you, telling you, I don't want to make a big deal of
this. This started yesterday? This could be going on for a whole day?
I told you one of the reasons I don't want to make a big deal of it is because it's not that big of a deal to me. And Spike had the decency to tell me, and I just assumed, he forgot about it.
I did not. Well, here's my only defense is that I never believe in throwing someone else under the bus. And
you,
so I figured if I was going to take full accounting for it, I would do it live on air. Okay. I would take the fall. Spike could be redeemed. and everyone can think worse of me. But Ursula, I gotta say though, like this thing is busted. The reason I didn't think about
it's a janky.
Look at this thing. It is like bare wires. So it did not even charge my phone. On, I was like, this is a piece of crap, and I forgot about it.
Which is the other reason I didn't want to make a big deal.
We got a bigger.
And then there's one more reason.
Go ahead.
And Spike, I love you.
Okay,
and,
but.
No. But I want to share that there was a time when I borrowed Chris Sullivan's charging cord.
So this is Sully's cord?
No, that isn't, actually. And one time I forgot to return his.
Hold on. Okay.
She's so mad right now.
And I had to apologize profusely. That said, I returned his.
Okay. So. Gee, where are you at today, right? Where are you at right now, bud?
You ready for this?
Yes.
Write this down, everybody. How you do anything is how you do everything.
Amen. I couldn't put it better. So let me say this before we move any further. I completely own forgetting completely that I owed you a charger. I just forgot.
This was not your fault. I'm sorry.
The fact that it was gone meant that I owed you a charger. And I said, I'll find it for you. And then I just completely brain farted this thing, and it's gone out of my head. This is the first I've thought about that charger in the last 3 weeks.
I just want to say this. And I know we're late. I'm sorry. We're getting out of here. Nick, if I took a charger off someone's desk and I lost it, I would be horrified. I would not be able to sleep, literally.
Watch your back when you're lending anything to Spike. He's just going to use it all up.
Until you use me up.
Yeah. You might not see it again.
No.
All right,
it's not Spike we're worried about. It's Chef.
I'm going to the restroom.
I didn't lose it.
I'm worried about all of us.
Agree
right
to disagree comes up next. You know, so.
My brother. Sit me right down and he talked to me.